National Council of Jewish Women, Pittsburgh Section, Oral History 2. My name is Ruth Kaplan. The respondent is Sydney Gross. The address is 5878 Hobart Street. And today is December 27, 1995. We are now ready to begin. Tell me maybe a little about your family.
My parents came from Europe and Hungary in 1921.
Did you come to Pittsburgh?
My father went to the yeshiva in Hungary. He came here to get medical attention to his eyes. His family lived in Duquesne, Pennsylvania. My mother, unfortunately, he passed away a few months after coming here. They were not able to correct his medical problem.
And what was your father's name? Remember? That's okay. You can say it another time.
My mother was left a widow with seven children.
You were born in Hungary.
I was born in Hungary. And I'll tell you something very incidental. My brother and I were born in the same house in different countries. Before the World War, it was one country. And after the war, it was Czechoslovakia. When I was a little lad, my mother sent me to the store to buy Fleischmann's yeast to bake challahs for Shabbos. And I was a little ashamed of saying Fleischmann's. I thought that was a Jewish word. So when I went to the AP store, I asked, give me a cake of meatman's yeast. And the guy there, the manager, told it to another Jewish fella that a little lad came in and asked for meatman's yeast. I knew that would be. And my mother, we lived in three rooms below the tracks in Duquesne. My uncle, my father had two brothers and a sister living in Duquesne, and they helped us. But we lived in three rooms, seven children, and my mother washed on board the clothing. And we grew up with the so-called Hunkies and Schwarzer, who lived on Moore, Texas. Everybody lived there. And we lived very close because we had very little money. And we grew up knowing we were poor, and my mother worked very hard just to keep us going. I mean, we used to buy a can of beans for 2 cents a can, and we used to buy a sack of old bread for a dollar, and we lived on that for all week.
Did you go to school here?
We went to school with the hunkies and the shrimp. And we could not get jobs for a weekend because we did not work on Shabbos. So it was a very, very tough upbringing. My oldest brother was 12 years old. He got a job washing bottles at $3 a week in a factory. And every little bit helped out. And we grew up, and my sisters went to work, didn't go to high school. They went to work in the pants factory in Pittsburgh. And we had a very tough upbringing, living in three rooms with seven children. And it was very difficult raising us and going to school. My father died 3 months after we got here, and my mother was left with seven children to raise and no source of income. My relatives helped out a little, and they sort of kept an eye on us a little bit. It was at that time, there were about 40 or 50 Jewish families living in Duquesne, below the taxes. And everybody got along on what they were able to have. As we grew older, we quit school and we went to work. I remember peddling tomatoes from door to door when I was only eight years old, and helping a huckster on their trucks selling food.
Was there a shul in Duquesne?
There was a new shul, and there were about 60 Jewish families built a new shul. The shul was built in 1926. And some of the Jews, I don't know if I should put it, they were selling a lot of moonshine, so they had a little money, and that's where the money came from the moonshine. And I mean, almost all the Jews were involved in moonshine then. And we didn't have any source of income, and we just grew up wearing hand-me-down clothes. I remember at 6 years old going to first grade wearing my uncle's old uniform from the war. It was cut down to fit. You can imagine what I looked like, a six-year-old kid in a hand-me-down uniform that was cut out to my size. We never knew what it was to have any money, and we had bread and coffee. Till I went to the army, I never knew there was anything else for breakfast but bread and old bread and coffee. And we got along because that's all we had.
How about holidays, Jewish holidays? How did you celebrate those here?
Well, we had the Jewish holidays. The teachers used to call us in and said they had at least 50 Jewish kids in the school, and we were the only ones that didn't go to school on Jewish holidays. But we got along, and we were happy. My mother worked very hard to raise seven children without pennies coming in every week.
Did she go out to work?
No, I mean, just washing clothes
for other people.
Seven children. Mm-hmm. I remember going to sleep and they used to put it pieces from the stove to warm, to warm the bed up, so we wouldn't sleep in a cold that bed. And we got along with the Humphreys and the Schwartz are there. My oldest brother quit school before high school and went to work at $3 a week just to have a little bit of money coming into the house. And we managed. Not greatly, but we managed.
Were you the youngest child?
No, I was the youngest born in Europe. There was a child born here after we got here. We got a little older. We went to work for a grocery store and hucksters, and we didn't know any. We were happy because we didn't know any better, and we thought this was the normal way of life. Where we graduated high school, we did a little peddling from door to door, selling white shoe polish. White shoes were very popular then, and we went door to door selling white shoe polish. We opened up a little store in Clinton, Pennsylvania for a few months before we went to the Army, my older brother, myself. And I was shipped to Australia, and we got along in the Army very well. We didn't have a Jewish chaplain, so I took care of the Jewish affairs in the Army.
How did you do with eating in the Army?
Very good. I weighed 135 pounds in the Army. And the Goyim, I learned to get along with Goyim. So they used to say to me, whatever they say, you're allowed to eat this salmon or tuna or anything like that. They used to say that for me. And they would come and say, you can't eat this because this has bones of meat in it. And many days I went to sleep with peanut butter and jelly and bread. That's about all that I could eat in the Army. I went 135 pounds in the Army, and we managed to get along. I got along because there was a Jewish vegetarian there, and not because he was religious. He didn't eat any meat because he was a vegetarian. So I said, if he can get along, I can get along too. I was from Australia. We were shipped to the South Sea Islands, and there I took care of the chaplain's work for the Jewish men. I helped bury several Jewish boys while we were there, and we had a Yom Kippur services. Every Friday night we had services in the camp where most of the soldiers came to the services. From the South Sea Islands, we were shipped to Philippine Islands, and there they told me there was a religious family living in Manila. And I went to visit them, and I took along toothbrush, cleaning and things, and they had a little boy. And the boy was 7 years old. He's now the head of the Sloan Kettering cancer research in New York after they came here. They were very religious people, and she cooked a seder out in their backyard because the Japanese had burned down their house. So I went to buy, I knew you, for Pesach, you have to have eggs. And I found a place that had eggs. At that time, I paid $1 an egg. I bought 20 eggs for $20. And at that time, so we had a seder in the backyard. Also, we had a seder in the army. We had 2 pounds of matzahs and 1 bottle of wine for 40 soldiers. And we had a little seder in a hospital tent in the South Sea Islands. From Manila, we went on to Japan. I was there when MacArthur came ashore and signed the peace treaty with the Japanese. And there we had Yom Kippur services in the First Presbyterian Church of Yokohama. That was the only building left intact, and we were crowded with Jewish soldiers. And some of the men from the city came in, were Russians who were married to Japanese women, and they fainted at the Kol Nidre because they hadn't heard of Kol Nidre in 40 years. Needless to say, all this time, I didn't have very much food, but I managed peanut butter and some jam and string beans, and I used to eat up a whole can of string beans just to get satisfied on. And then we came home, and we were back in the city. While in Manila, going toward Manila, during one of the battles, I came across 2 Japanese swords, which I still have. And when we were discharged from the army, I was discharged on a Friday afternoon, and I took a cab to the shul. And one of the old men in the shul asked if I wanted to be a shochet. He saw the 2 Japanese swords, and he thought I was taking these home. But I still had the souvenirs, and we had some very, very great times. I met a lot of Jewish soldiers in the army. We used to come every Friday night. We had services for all the Jewish soldiers, and we had a nice time. And going across to Australia, I told the Jewish chaplain I wanted to have Jewish services. And the first thing in the morning, Friday morning, says there will be no card playing, no swearing, no gambling on this ship after 1 o'clock in the afternoon. There will be Jewish services at 5 o'clock. And we started out with about 10 Jewish soldiers, and before we were done, we had about 50, because there were 5,000 men on the boat. And needless to say, we were very happy. My brother went to India, and in India, he went to the British Soldiers Club, and a man invited him home for Friday night. And when he came, full walk, he said, "This is my zoo, this is my aquarium." And this was Lord Ezra, who was a Jewish man. And Lady Ezra saw that my brother did not eat at the table. She says, "Young man, come here." And she took him in the kitchen and said, "This is my fleshy kitchen, this is my milky kitchen, and this is Lord Ezra Hillary, Indian Stock Exchange, and they sent him matzahs, and he used to be a regular at their Shabbos meal. When we came home, my brother and I opened us a store in Clark, Pennsylvania, and we went into the furniture business there. There were not too many Jews. They had a little shul in Clarkton, and we managed to make it go over there, and we had a very nice time there. We helped the Jewish community there, having a place there. And Duquesne, there were about 40 or 50 Jewish families left in Duquesne. And every town had a one man who was elected. He laid the Torah for the people, and he was the chazan of the shul. And therefore, my brother got married, and then I married a girl from New York, and we raised, here I have seven children, and they're all married, very fine, Sabbath observing Jews, and my wife helped teaches in the Hillel Academy, and all my children are strict Sabbath observers. They were raised in America, and they, wherever they are, one lives in South Bend, one lives in Passaic, New Jersey, one lives in Muncie, New York, and one's a lawyer, one's a actuary, one's a computer specialist. They all have very good business heads, and they're all college educated, and they're all strict Sabbath observers, and they're raising their children in the strict observance of the Sabbath. Now, is there any questions you have?
You said you, how did you meet your wife? You said you married a woman from New York, and you lived in Duquesne.
We went to the Young Israel Convention, Young Israel Art Convention. Mm-hmm.
That was your social life, and what you did for fun.
The social life, yeah. The Young Israel have about 40 branches in New York, and they have their conventions. I used to go to conventions there. And, you know, there are many more people there. And all the while that we were in the army, we met different Jewish soldiers, and we got to know a lot of people. And my sister married a fellow from New York, and my sister, even while we were in the army, some of my sisters married different people, New York and so forth.
Were you always in the furniture business?
Or we were always in the furniture business. Mm-hmm.
And when did you move into Squirrel Hill?
So
you
after I got married, I moved here in 1954. I lived here about 47 years. My son-in-law just put out two new books. They live in Jerusalem, and he just translated two books. That are in publication now, and it's manner how people should get along together. It says, you and your friend how people should get along. We shouldn't get angry at each other. And these were already in the second publishing. We sold out the first publishing.
Wonderful. So you have a daughter living in Israel.
In Israel. Mm-hmm. And she has 9 children. Mm-hmm. And I have a daughter living in Muncie, New York. Her husband is a very good attorney. She has 8 children. And then I have my son. I have 1 son and 6 daughters. My son is a caterer in Baltimore, Maryland. My son-in-law is a karate expert. He lifts weights and he's very proficient at that. And one son-in-law works for the CIA in the Army. And let's see, any son-in-law.
So you must have a lot of grandchildren.
I hate to tell you, 22 grandchildren.
In the shrimp.
They were just here now for Hanukkah.
Oh.
Not all.
All
of Sadman, he's a computer expert, and he works for a big client. And I have, and the one came, the other one came from New York City. And they take turns coming in. We have a large house, and we're having my teacher's in the Hillel Academy, and she's been teaching there 9 some years. We always have a lot of company every Shabbat. We have a lot of friends and others come to see us. I retired. I had a stroke in 1991, and that's when we closed up the store.
Two brothers in a partner with you?
I have 3 brothers. One brother was a partner. One brother worked for Westinghouse. One brother lived in Duquesne. He had a store in Duquesne. They're retired to live in Florida. I take care of the cemetery in Duquesne, and there the cemetery is about 70 years old, and it's well kept. It's a very nice cemetery, and it's way in the boondocks, because at that time they wouldn't sell any land for Jews to make a cemetery, so they had a far-out place for them. And there, it's a very nice place. You could ask me any questions.
Sure. I'm listening to you. I don't want to ask questions.
You ask questions as well.
So I gather your children went to Hillel, or your children went to Hillel Academy. And what kind have you gone on as you became more established? Did you go on vacations? Have you been in Israel?
I've been in Israel sometimes. Mm-hmm. And we go to visit the grandchildren. And we therefore also there's many other things from the Army. We used to have services every Friday night, and all the Jewish soldiers, we once had 2 cold nidreis. And you say, how could you have 2 cold nidreis? We had for the soldiers about 400 soldiers at a cold nidre in the tent in the South Sea. And just as we got finished, the Navy sent in 40 trucks of sailors, and they said, we can't do a cold nidre. So we all went out, and there was a young fella said he used to be a cousin, and he said cold nidre again, and we all stood outside listening, and all the Navy men heard the cold nidre. When I got to Australia, I had meat for about 2 or 3 weeks. Once I got candy, and my family used to have me. I went to the one. He said the only kosher place to eat was in the YMHA in Sydney, Australia. We went there, and therefore was a rationing was you couldn't order anything over $2. So we went in, and they had lamb chops for $2. So therefore, we got done eating the, how many of the lamb chops? We ordered another lamb chops. Then we had those up, then we ordered another one. We were hungry soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And the cook came out of the kitchen. She wanted to see these American Khazarim who could eat up three of our lamb chop meals. So,
how have you seen the Pittsburgh area change during the years that you've been here?
Well,
there
are many more young people going to show every Saturday. The Polytechnic is packed with people Friday nights.